Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. In his message titled, Ask, Search, Knock, Reverend David Williams tells us that when you ask for God's love to comfort you and guide you on your path, He will answer. If you follow God and keep asking, your world will change because you will receive God's loving grace. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's word.
Please be seated. Of all the things that we struggle with as human persons, one of the hardest is anxiety. Anxiety, that feeling that somehow we don't have enough, we're not enough. Anxiety, that feeling that somehow the world is out of our control, and we want to control it, and we yearn for it, and that builds tension in us. And from that fear, we find ourselves tearing at other people. We find ourselves tearing ourselves apart because we don't have confidence in God's grace. We feel only the absence, the difference. We feel only our inferiority. We feel empty and weak. And that's not what God wants for us. That is not the path that God sets for us, but we feel that way sometimes. And right now, let's admit that we can struggle with that. Let's do so in the prayer of confession that's printed in our bulletin. Please join with me in the praying of it. Gracious God, we see what we have, and we struggle to see it as enough. All around us come the voices telling us that we do not have what we need, that we aren't quite right, and that we must always have more. We feel anxious about ourselves, about whether we're doing enough, about whether we have enough. From that place of anxiety, we can doubt that we have anything to offer or anything to give. Though you've poured out creation for us and given us freedom, we struggle to feel that reality. Help us to find confidence again, Lord. In Christ we ask this. Amen. Listen now for the assurance of God's pardon. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, who lived for us, died for us, and reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Today's third scripture reading is drawn from the Gospel of Luke. I'll be reading from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. You can follow along on page 72 of your pew New Testament. Let's listen a third time for God's word. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And Jesus said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I've got nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Don't bother me. The door's already been locked. My children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he's his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they might be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's a funny passage, this passage from Luke, because it makes me think of sayings that are common in the broader world of American Christianity these days. There's a saying out there that all you got to do is ask. Really, that's it. It tends to get said, name it and claim it. You got a reality you want, you just name that reality in the name of Jesus, and boom, you're going to get back exactly what it is that you want. That is all you need to do. You want something, set your heart on it, say a little prayer to Jesus, and it's going to happen. That is a peculiar part of modern American Jesus practice, front and center in 21st century consumer Christianity. God gives us everything we want if only we ask faithfully, and it's everywhere. I mean, I read it. I've read through all of the books by the great masters of the prosperity movement, the Creflo A. Dollars and Joel Osteens of the world, and I track them in my Twitter feed, and I have no idea why I do that, but I do. I get their chirpy words of positive thinking encouragement mixed in with all the other Twitter randomness. And there's some out there in that movement that call this principle, the idea that all you got to do is ask and it's going to be magically right, the law of attraction. You just want it and it's going to come to you, as if this is a law of physics or Newtonian. All you've got to get something to happen, all you've got to do is want it. And I've tried this, and it doesn't work. It doesn't. I mean, I try it with the stupid stuff, you know. It's only a couple years old, but, you know, I've named and claimed a BMW R1200 RT, and every time I walk outside, that's not the motorcycle that's sitting there. What's wrong? There's no yacht. I mean, I can name and claim my yacht in the name of Jesus, and it's just not there. The third story on our house, so we have a nice master suite instead of a bedroom that was built for the 1970s when people apparently had four items of clothing. I walk out to where the stair would be leading up to our master suite, and it's not there no matter how much I name and claim that reality. It's not even the trivial stuff. There's a story that Joel Osteen tells in every book he writes about praying to Jesus. That one time it was Christmas and he was trying to find a parking space at the mall, and he placed that before the Lord and a parking space appeared. Hallelujah. Named it and claimed it. That's the Lord God, creator of the universe at work. It's a miracle. No, that's not where I struggle with that. It's with the other stuff, the important things. And each of us, depending on our lives, have experienced it. But things like when I prayed over a really good old friend who was going in for brain surgery. She had a benign tumor, but it was crushing out all the rest of her. And I prayed over that. And I didn't just slightly pray. You know, it wasn't one of those casual prayers that you offer up in passing. It was serious. I knew the effect that would have on her husband, on her daughter. And so I turned all of my hopes, all of my intention, all of my trust, all of my prayers towards that working out. I named that future. I claimed that future. Like, visualize. Here's what it's going to be like when she comes out the other side. I rested my hopes fully in that, and the surgery failed. And they had to put her into a coma, and she lived in that coma for a little less than a week before she died. I cannot possibly, as a human person, have wanted that not to happen more than I did. I named that, I claimed it, I laid that out, and that happened. Or my last church, which was broken and busted up, but I loved it, and I could see the potential in it, and I genuinely, utterly named and claimed that church's revitalizing. I could see the path for it. I could see how the souls there could make something work. I could feel it. I could even feel the spirit moving. I could visualize what it would mean for that church to turn around 3 decades of decay, become something new, become something joyous. And I saw it, and I spoke that vision out, and I prayed over that vision, and I had prayers full of hope that I shared, and it didn't work. People just got right back to fighting. And as much as I prayed and sweated and walked with people and hoped and prayed some more and named that, it didn't happen. And I left, and then the church, a couple years later, just died. Named it and claimed it, and in the name of Jesus for the glory of God, and it didn't happen. And that's why it strikes me every time I encounter prosperity preaching, this like happy, happy, everything will be great, is that it's just complete and unmitigated, to use the sanctuary appropriate euphemism, bovine excrement. It's not real. The idea that you can shape creation with your intention like your Mr. Magic feels like egomaniacal bravado. It's preposterous bluster unfounded in the reality of our mortal frailty and our tendency to be broken and make brokenness spread from person to person. And I know that with certainty, and then I come through to this passage in Luke, and Jesus says, ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door shall be open to you. And I go, huh, that's hard. Having lived enough life that I don't believe I'm magic in the way I did when I was 6 or 7 or 8, it's kind of hard to wrap your head around that. Ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find. That can't mean the same thing, can it? But here it is in Luke chapter 11, after we've worked our way through Jesus' teaching about what it means to stand in relationship with God, what it means to stand in prayer. Here, a sort of familiar teaching. I mean, we get the more familiar form of how to pray out of Matthew. There, that prayer comes out of the heart of the Sermon on the Mount, that core of Jesus' teaching. And that's the one we kind of know by heart, that most basic prayer. And Luke has it, kind of. It's kind of there, although he doesn't even get around to the amen in it. Evidently, Jesus was sort of in abbreviated form that day. Here's the core of that core of prayer, you know, kind of. You already asked me this one. Weren't you listening when I was up on the mountain? Jeez, come on. But in Luke, like in Matthew, what's interesting about that prayer is that the teaching of the prayer, both in the Sermon on the Mount and here in Luke, even though these are two different points, Jesus feels compelled afterwards to talk about our anxiety, to talk about our fear that things won't work out. And in both the Sermon on the Mount and here in Luke, where Jesus teaches it, he says, don't fear. And here in Luke, Jesus approaches that by laying out a little story, a mental exercise meant to stir the imaginations of his listeners. He says, all right,
You're approaching God using this simple prayer. You're asking, you are knocking, you're seeking. Think of it this way. It's like a friend arriving with a need in the middle of the night, and there's a knock on the door, and they need food to show hospitality. They want to show grace, and how are you going to respond? And even if you're grumpy and you're frustrated and it's 3 a.m. and you've got an early day the next day, you get up. You give them what they ask because they keep knocking. You know, it's like, I've got to get out of bed. And in ancient Judah, that would have made a lot of sense. I mean, there the demand for hospitality was a fundamental ground of their culture. Semitic cultures are that way. If you come into someone's house, if you're a friend, you have to give. It was a basic moral principle that they saw providing the societal glue of their culture. You had so you could share. Your goal was to be generous to neighbors and strangers and friends, and whoever sought the shelter of your doorstep. And at 3 a.m, I'm not sure we quite would hear that the same way in our selfish, fearful, anxious society. If it's 3 a.m, the door is like, I think I'm there. It's either 911 or racking a shell into the chamber of our Remington 870. I don't know that we quite have the same gracious instinct to show hospitality, but we at least kind of get the idea. The principle Jesus is trying to convey is pretty straightforward. God, like a good friend, will give us what we ask if we ask for it. And that still leaves the question, if you've struggled with that in your life, how does that play out? How does that play out in the reality we really inhabit? If we ask, do we receive? If we knock, is it opened? And it depends, I think, what we're asking for. We do not become gods by the asking. We don't change certain things by the asking. And sure, you can try. You can stand out in a cornfield directly in the path of an F5 tornado and say, "Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus to turn this storm aside." And you can do that if you want. But, I mean, your next prayer will be something along the lines of, "Dear Heavenly Father, now that I'm flying through the air, could you find me something soft to land on?" No, that tree wasn't soft. That's not how that works. And we do not become less mortal through the asking. I mean, that's hard. We're not immune to the reality of being human, of being frail, of being easily broken. Christianity is not and has never been the promise that everything will always go right for us. It is not the promise that we won't grow old. We do. It's not the promise that we'll never experience illness or loss or death. And that is the lie of our culture, which hides those things away from us. It's the lie of a consumer culture which sates us with stuff and bluff and coddles us while eternally stoking our hungers and anxieties. Following Jesus, Jesus whose cross sits behind me, is and has never been a guarantee that you will never experience suffering and loss. If that is what you are seeking, there'll be disappointment. But following Jesus and asking as he would have us ask also changes the world. It does. As I like to think of it, the commitment to Christ's way bends local probability towards the reality of grace. And I'll admit while saying that saying I'm bending local probability towards the reality of grace is a great way to ensure that no one has a clue what you're talking about, which is probably why Jesus didn't use those words. He tells us, though, to ask. As he makes clear in Luke's gospel and all of the gospels, what we are asking for isn't the stuff of this world, the things that are meant to assuage our anxiety, just build up our tension. We are to ask for the Holy Spirit. That is the thing we are to ask for. That is the thing we ask for that means we're in relation with Jesus. And it means we're asking to stand in direct relationship with the love of God in us. That's the path. That's the kingdom. And that is what changes us, and in changing us, changes our relationships, that local reality in which we live. And that changes it right up close where it matters. If we ask for God's grace, the Holy Spirit, to work in and through us, to fill us with that light of kindness and mercy, and that is our sincere yearning, God gives that to us. And that changes things. And that can be hard for us to trust. If we feel fearful, if we feel anxious, if we feel angry, we're not even sure we want to ask. Do you really want to ask for God's Spirit of grace and reconciliation on you? Or would you rather be fearful and angry? Would you rather hold on to hate? And often, we'd rather hold on to hate. Hate at least is familiar. Reconciliation and hope aren't. But if we ask for them, they'll change the world around us. That Spirit means we are more likely to be graceful. We are more likely to give others both the benefit of the doubt and the wise advice and direction that if they hear, will change them. We are more likely to forgive those who have harmed us. We are more likely to be resilient, and we are more likely to endure with grace those times of hardship that come in mortal life. If we ask, that's what we have. If we search for that, if we look diligently, honestly, prayerfully, and in our actions for the way of life that Jesus taught, that makes a difference. That shapes our deciding, that transforms the choices we make, that modifies the way we relate to every other human being we encounter. It modifies the way we view creation itself, and that changes life. And sometimes it can just seem that all around us is darkness. It's just a dark night, and we'd rather sit there and curl into a ball and mope and do nothing. Jesus says, knock diligently in that darkness. Knock in what can seem like the dark closed door. Because in knocking, that door will be opened. We don't know exactly when, but it will. And then we'll receive that Spirit of grace, the heart of the way that Jesus taught. And as much as I struggle with naming and claiming, that is a reality that I know all of us can name and claim as our path. And that is the thing that Jesus tells us. If we seek, we will find. If we ask, we will receive. And if we knock, that gracious, giving life will be open to us. Let that be so, for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation from Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
These are anxious times. They are. But as we move out into a world that is filled with fear and anxiety, we hear from Luke today, Jesus teaching that most simple prayer and saying, no matter what that fear might be, trust that when you ask, not for power, not for wealth, not for the kind of things that tear this world apart, but when you ask for the Spirit of the living God, when you ask for God's love to rest on you and shape your life, God will answer. And maybe we do want a little more. Maybe we want a little more stuff, or we want a little more power. But that's not what Jesus came here into the world to offer us. He came to offer the Spirit of God to all who want to live a new way of life. And so no matter what your fears and anxieties might be, no matter how torn the world might seem to be, go out and ask for that Holy Spirit of love. Ask for that Spirit. Knock on that door in the darkness. Let that be the thing that you seek. And trust that if you are persistent, meaning you don't sort of, and then run away, keep knocking on that door. Keep diligently seeking it. You will receive that in return. And we all need that. And the world needs that. So go out asking, seeking and knocking for that Spirit that is God's kingdom written into you. Let that be all that you seek and yearn for, because that's the path we together are trying to walk. Let's walk it as best we can. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us, today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.